let's first kick off our series on prudence here on Trending. Today is the first day of a week-long series on prudence, so be sure to connect with us throughout the week. We'll talk about how to live it out and continue to explore what it is so that we might have this great virtue, one of the four cardinal virtues. Now, virtue is basically a good habit. Now, I once heard virtues put this way: to act and think with the instincts of God. I loved it when a priest once said this: virtues, especially the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, are to act and think with the instincts of God. Now, prudence itself, in the simplest sense, is, and again, pulling from St. Thomas Aquinas in his Summa, is developing a natural sense of what to seek and what to avoid. So prudence is all about what we should chase after and what we should have not just an aversion to, because aversions can be very emotional, but that we actually outright intentionally and deliberately avoid. You see, there's this trend in our culture today, and I think that this really, the whole virtue of prudence touches on this, of indecisiveness. We can't make decisions. We leave all our options open and don't make commitments to plans to hang out, to people to date, to people to marry, to people to have children with. We always have, especially millennials, this what-if mentality. Well, what if something better comes along? What if someone better comes along? What if I close my door on other chances, other possibilities? You see, this trend of indecisiveness leads often to people never making choices, a lack of deliberation in our life. This is a very common trend, and at the heart of this trend is a lack of the virtue of prudence, knowing what to seek and what to avoid. It's true. The common attitude, instead of prudence, is the grass is always greener on the other side, as Patrick, our producer here, just commented. Now, we don't realize that that's the mindset we have, but that mindset is actually because we don't know prudence. We're choosing to not be prudential with our choices. We're choosing to chase after what glitters to us. Pride of life, good for food, right? Delight to the eye. Could make one wise. This is the same battle that Adam and Eve had, the primordial battle. And we're, to be really frank, failing at this in the 21st century. Failing and utterly failing. And this is why we need the life of virtue, and we need the cardinal virtue of prudence in our life. Tomorrow here on the show, maybe you don't know what a cardinal virtue is. I'll discuss that tomorrow on the show. But let's start to kick off our first of week-long series on prudence. St. Augustine says that prudence is the knowledge of what to seek and what to avoid. Really simple. This is what we want. This is what we're going to be praying for all week long. So this is your first piece of homework. Start praying for the virtue of prudence. And when you pray for this, you're asking for knowledge of what to seek and what to avoid. In St. Thomas's Summa, he talks essentially about how this is helping us to understand really how to think, to know, and how to apply things. Those are my words, not is, but if we were to summarize it, I think that's important. You see, so much of Catholic theology, Catholic philosophy, Catholic moral theology and social teaching, it doesn't say X. Now, there are certain things that are intrinsic evil, such as abortion, among other things. But often what the church offers are ways to think that teach us what to seek and what to avoid, what to support and what to radically stand against, what to build up and what to actually destroy. So let's think of some application of this in a very simple sense to start to understand what prudence is. If prudence, as St. Augustine says, is the knowledge of what to seek and what to avoid, here's a really simple example. Because St. Thomas Aquinas talks about what to seek and what to avoid, and how this isn't just a universal perspective of, let's say, all trees are good. No, it's actually that we have to have universal perspectives, but it's also individual. It's specific. It's singular as well. So, for example, you and I know that the right thing to do when we see a chair and when we use a chair is to sit on it, right? It's pretty simple. Even though I'm bouncing on an exercise ball, I'm not sitting on a chair. Apparently, I don't know what to do with a ball. But universally, we know the right way to use a chair is to sit on it. However, there might be a circumstance, an individual circumstance, where the right thing to do with a wooden chair is to burn it for warmth, for the sake of survival. And I use that example because this is an example of prudence. We shouldn't become overly obsessed with the idea of, no, that's a chair, and that's meant to be sat in. Well, I'm starving. I need food for a fire, and I just killed a squirrel. Yeah, that's really nasty. That's how desperate I am, right? And I have to cook it because nobody's eating raw squirrel. And so the right thing to do, the prudent thing to do, is to actually use that wooden chair, break it down, and burn it. I'll give you another example, a little more extreme. Universally, you and I all know that the wrong thing to do, that it's wrong to push a person off a cliff. We know this. It is absolutely wrong to push a person off a cliff. However, although that's a universal thing to understand and to deliberate, you and I should also know and understand that it's a right thing to protect ourselves. And let's say that we are on the edge of a cliff. In our life or the life of someone else is in mortal danger. It could be prudent to push a person off a cliff. And so what's important is that we're able to discern in situations what is a prudential judgment. Now, all of this, I'm laughing, Patrick, like, you chose some really gnarly examples. That's just what came to mind when I was thinking about this. I don't know. I grew up in the mountains, maybe that's what it is, but I really never thought about pushing people off cliffs. I shouldn't make that clear. And I think hence the wood situation with the chair. But here's what we need to require. This is what we need to understand when we come to all of these simple examples of prudence. How do we develop prudence then? How do I know when I'm on the cliff edge, if I have this universal understanding that pushing someone off the cliff is wrong, or that sitting in a wooden chair is the way I'm supposed to use a chair, how do I prudentially decide in certain circumstances what to do with the chair, or when to push a person off a cliff, if my life or the life of someone else is in danger? All of this requires the virtue of prudence. You see, prudence, as St. Thomas Aquinas emphasizes, it requires foresight, perspective, context, that we're seeing the current situation and we're viewing the current situation in light of the big picture while making a decision now in the moment that must be made. That requires that we have good intentions, that requires that we're reasonable people. It also requires a process of comparison, of thinking about possible outcomes, positive and negative effects, thinking about the ends, thinking about the means, making sure that good means achieve good ends. Saint Isidore said, "A prudent man is one who sees, as it were, from afar." So a prudent man sees things from afar. So he doesn't have a narrow perspective. St. Isidore goes on to say, "A prudent man is one who sees, as it were, from afar, for his sight is keen, and he foresees the event of uncertainties." So what Saint Isidore is saying is that we have to be able to see things from a bird's eye view. We have to even, when he says see from afar, that he has sight from afar, that he has keen sight, that we are anticipating things. That we're not just letting life, and yes, it is important to live one day at a time, but we're not just letting things happen to us, but we're expecting them. We're prepared. For example, we're prepared. We have the life of grace, the life of Christ within us, so that we are predisposed to make a good and right decision. What St. Isidore is emphasizing is that we have to think, we have to be reasonable, we have to have foresight, we have to decide, we have to be decisive, so that in uncertain situations, we can make decisions that we have confidence in, decisions that are good. You see, we have to learn to become decisive in a culture that is indecisive, as I mentioned before. St. Augustine says, prudence is love, discerning aright that which helps from that which hinders us in tending to God. So what St. Augustine is saying is that prudence includes love whenever we discern right things, so good things, right? Good means in terms of what will help us or what will hinder us. So first we have to understand that good means are always required for good ends. So how we prudentially determine that this is a good end that I'm achieving, that I'm working toward. And then how we prudentially determined that my means of achieving my goal is also a good means. You see, all of this is determined with prudence, present and at the forefront of our thoughts and our plans. We have to determine with discernment if something will be a good help or a hindrance in our lives. So I have a little bit of homework for you, because we're going to continue this series here on Trending about prudence. And I want you to discover and see that we are happier when we're able to be decisive. We're happier when we're able to be prudent and make decisions, prudential decisions. But here's your homework. Do you know how to see the current situation with foresight? To anticipate possible things that may come your way, but also to have the foresight to anticipate the consequences of decisions you make. Do you act rashly and maybe struggle to see the bigger picture? Also, do you stop to receive good counsel when necessary, or maybe when making large, big life decisions? And are you able to make sound and good prompt decisions when necessary? I want us to orient toward this decisiveness within ourselves that is prudential and that is rooted in the life of Christ. We should be able to answer all of these four questions I just put your way. And once you have that answer, be able to start to maybe be aware of areas where you need to form yourself to make prudential judgments. Let's discuss now our cardinal virtue that we have been pondering this week in our series on prudence. Yesterday, I dove into a deeper understanding to help us understand the importance of this great virtue, especially understanding that prudence is developing a natural sense of what to seek and what to avoid. This is important, as I mentioned, because we live in a trend in society of indecisiveness. The capacity to make decisions has dwindled, and the capacity to make good decisions has dwindled. Often, people like to leave their options open, whether it has to do with who they marry, who they date, what commitments they make on Friday night, because they want to keep the possibilities open. In the end, it leads many people to making no choices, even failing to make good choices. So prudence is a cardinal virtue. Well, what's a cardinal virtue? Well, a cardinal virtue has to do, as the tradition has held and discussed, with helping us to understand that these are the most important virtues. They are the principle among all virtues, and especially the virtue of prudence. In fact, St. Thomas Aquinas discusses how prudence helps all the other virtues. It helps in directing the virtues. Prudence itself resides in the intellect. It's an intellectual decision. And prudence, being a cardinal virtue, has to do with helping us understand as a cardinal virtue that it's a door hinge to all the other virtues. I remember seeing some years ago an icon of a door, and on it had four words, prudence, and then the other three cardinal virtues of justice, fortitude, and temperance. And then it listed other virtues as well that are very important, but it showed how prudence, followed by justice, fortitude, and temperance are the most important. And the reason we talk about them as the cardinal virtues or the door hinge virtues is because these virtues are what all of the other virtues hinge upon. You have the hinge on a door holding up the door. This is how we open and close it. If the door hinge isn't functioning properly, well, then the door isn't functioning properly. We might not even be able to walk through. We might make a loud noise, for example, which occurs right now in my house, and wake up the baby if you open the door. You might scrape the wall. You might even break the door. This is why having those hinges strong are so important. And specifically, prudence holds a primary place among the four cardinal virtues, above all the other virtues. Of course, setting the theological virtues aside, that are on a totally different level because they're the three theological virtues. You see, let's dive in a little further into this virtue of prudence. St. Thomas Aquinas discusses, and we were talking about this yesterday, the importance of making decisions. He talks about how the prudent man considers things afar off. That is, he has foresight. I'll go on, he says, in so far as they tend to be a help or a hindrance to that which has to be done at the present time. So a person who is prudent has foresight as they consider things. And this helps them in either a good way, helping them along their decision, the functioning of their life, or it becomes a hindrance based on the decision they make at a given moment. That's why we discussed yesterday why you have to have context, perspective, good intentions, and be reasonable, and even have a process of comparison when making a prudential decision. Aristotle, the great philosopher, says a prudent man takes a good counsel. Let's talk about this. Because what does it mean to take good counsel? Who do you consult with to make your decisions? Taking good counsel is something that many of us need to ponder more often. Do I seek a counsel by praying? Do I seek counsel, which, by the way, counsel is one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? Do I read to inform myself, to inform my conscience, to inform my decision-making before making a prudential decision for myself, the life of my family, and others? Do I consult important people, family members, those people who have had experience in a particular decision, wise people I know? See, counsel is part of what's at the heart as well of a prudential decision. Aristotle's also said that prudence is right reason applied to action. But are we taking the moment and the time to ponder, think through, work through, anticipate the future, and make a decision? No decision will be absolutely perfect per se. Sure, we can make a good decision and difficult circumstances could still come from it. But we are challenged to make prudential decisions that bring about the best possible outcome. Again, we talked yesterday about good decisions leading to good ends, good goals. Thomas Aquinas discusses how prudence is oriented toward wisdom about human affairs, about human goods, that it moves, in a sense, the human person not just toward common sense, but prudence when it comes to the human person, wisdom surrounding man. Now, wisdom properly has to do with the things of God, the highest things. But prudence is a form of wisdom when it comes to man. So we need to ask ourselves questions as we talk about making prudential decisions. And I want to walk through these questions because I think this is important homework for us in order to grow in our virtuous life, to grow in our character, to form our character to make better decisions and to start making decisions. As I said before, there's a trend in the culture to not make decisions, to just wait for things to hit a point of absolute implosion. Or where you're forced into making a decision and your options have now become limited. Maybe it's because we want limited options because we don't think through those choices that we don't want to make. So here are some things for us to ponder. And I want you to really work through this. Do I care to make an informed decision? Or do I just wait for things to hit a crisis mode? Or do I wait until my options are so limited that it becomes easier? Now, there's nothing wrong with waiting things out, but that is also in and of itself a prudential decision to wait things out. That is making a decision. Also, do I prepare in advance for what to expect, to anticipate certain decisions that might need to be made? For example, let's say I want to buy a house. I need to make prudential decisions now about my spending habits. How many times I eat out. How many quick Amazon orders I make even for simple things in my house. Am I preparing in advance for future decisions and future outcomes? My third question that I want to encourage you to ponder is, do I seek counsel? Again, I listened earlier. Virtue of prudence really rests on us taking counsel and making decisions and understanding things. Now that counsel can and should start first and foremost with prayer. Now, don't, I beg you, become that person where you might ask someone, and I think this is a problem for people of faith. People will, maybe I ask you to do something to volunteer in a particular project, and someone will say, I'll pray about it. Praying about it is important. Very important. You should say, I'll pray about it. But sometimes people use prayer as a crutch. They'll say, oh, I'll pray about it. And they use that as their excuse to not say yes, to not say no, and to not make a decision. They say, I'll pray about it because they don't want to necessarily think about it. Now, I'm all about abandoning our decisions, our desires, our needs, our choices to God. But as we're praying and abandoning these things to God, we also need to make an intellectual decision along the way. That our intellectual decisions are informed and formed by prayer. Now also remember that one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit is counsel. So who should our predominant counselor be when making a decision? It should be the Holy Spirit. It should be prayer. But sometimes our prayer and our good counsel is informed by understanding of the church's teaching. Sometimes this gift of counsel could be informed by spending time with wise individuals, people of faith, reading. Reading is another, and education is another important means of making prudential decisions, a faith-filled, philosophical, and intellectual decision. People are also important at times for making decisions. Our family members, our spouses, relatives, those who have experience in particular situations, wise people we know. You know, there seems to be a trend where we go to make a decision and we inform our decision quickly with some social media influencer that we love. Well, so-and-so did this, I'll try it too. Well, that particular influencer you follow on social media might have any number of different life circumstances that you and I know nothing about. We're only seeing the facade of the character that is presented on social media. While their decision might be well-informed for them and well-chosen, just following what other people we admire do isn't necessarily the right path to take. Let's ponder for just a moment someone who practiced the virtue of prudence very well. It's the Blessed Virgin Mary. Why do I say this? Because Our Lady we saw as a model in sacred scripture. Two instances off the top of my head that I can think of. One is the presentation in the temple when Simeon makes a prophecy about Jesus Christ and the suffering Our Lady will endure. And what does she do? She ponders these things in her heart. Again, Jesus Christ is lost in the temple, and for 3 days, Joseph and Mary are searching for him. She finds Jesus, and she asks Jesus, "Why have you troubled your father and I so?" And Jesus says he was in his father's house. He's doing his father's work. And Our Lady yet again pondered these things in her heart. She took the counsel of Christ. She made a decision on what steps to take next. Even if her next steps weren't immediate, she was directing herself through a prayer-filled intellectual pondering. So, two more questions to ask ourselves as we talk about prudence today. Do I think about my choices and the execution of the decisions I've made? And the last thing to leave you with, at the end of the day, when you make that examination of conscience, which we should do every day, thinking about the good we've done, how we've grown, and some of our challenges and virtue, but also pondering the challenges, the bad habits, and the outright sins that we commit. As we examine our conscience, ponder, am I making prudential decisions? Am I prudentially working through these difficult circumstances that I know are temptations for me? That I know I've sinned with. This is how we will grow in the cardinal virtue of prudence. We're diving today into taking command of your actions, taking command of your life. I want to unpack models of prudence, examples of prudence, as well as developing prudence in our own life. If you're just joining us, we've had homework every day to actually grow in this virtue. This is so important because so often we will say, I want those 5 steps to be happier, or I want that self-improvement book, I want to read it, whatever it is. And we're willing to do everything from read a whole book on making your bed, in fact, that's one on my bookshelf, to any other number of books. But prudence is one of the virtues that the church truly upholds as a cardinal virtue, one of those door hinge virtues upon which all the other virtues rest upon. And so this is why we're doing a series. This week is prudence. We're going to continue over the coming weeks to finish out the series on the cardinal virtue. So stay with us all week. If you're just joining us, head over to relevantradio.com/trending, where you can subscribe to the podcast and share it with a friend to join us in this prudence series. Now, just redefining and helping us to understand what prudence is, a brief recap, Thomas Aquinas, St. Thomas Aquinas, talks about how prudence is right reason applied to action. And today I want to focus on taking command of our actions. A distinction that we need to make is that prudence requires that we already have proper ends in mind, that is, proper goals. For example, we should be doing things that are good, and we should use good means to get to our good end. So this requires that we have a strong moral compass, that we have good goals, that we have a good life philosophy of where we're going, what we want to accomplish. This also requires that we know the teaching of sacred scripture and the magisterium, the church, the living tradition of the church. This is all fundamentally important when we talk about prudence because this comes before prudence. This is what informs prudence so that we have a goal in mind and now we can orient ourselves and take action and command of our lives in order to achieve that specific goal. So, to clarify, prudence doesn't determine the good ends that we work after. Prudence faces and approaches the means we use to get to our goal, those actions that we take, the deliberation, the pondering. Yesterday, I talked about how wisdom is something that deals with the highest causes, specifically God. But prudence is a sense of human wisdom, having to do with human affairs. Choosing the correct way of doing things on a human level to help us get to those highest causes that inform our ends. So let's talk about a story. I think a great place to ponder this and to understand where prudence sets in is the parable of the 10 virgins, the 10 wise virgins. Now, I just emphasize that wisdom and prudence are different. Wisdom has to do with God and those highest things of earth, but prudence has to do with our human actions. So why are we talking about prudence when it comes to the 10 wise virgins? Well, the 10 wise virgins were prudent as well. Let's read the story for a moment here from Matthew 25. Remember, whenever we pray and read sacred scripture, we invoke the Holy Spirit to come and help us to understand the word of God and to interpret these words to us. So we read from Matthew 25. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared, this is Jesus talking, to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him." Then all those maidens rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "Perhaps there will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." Jesus says, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other maidens came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" So Jesus is telling us this parable about the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. Where does prudence seen in the story? Where do we see prudence in the story? Well, the wise virgins were wise, but so were the other ones, in the respect that they also chose to direct themselves toward the bridegroom, to direct themselves and orient themselves to meeting him. However, the problem was is that although they had this goal in mind, they didn't make prudential decisions to get there. You see, they had a good end, but they even had good means. They took their oil lamps. However, they didn't have foresight, as we've been discussing, that prudence requires foresight. They didn't take oil, but they didn't take enough oil. Now, it's good that they didn't steal the oil, so that is one good, prudent decision, but they had to leave to go and get enough oil for the bridegroom to come. So here's a question. Where are you in the story? Where are you in this story? Well, let's talk about trimming lamps for just a moment. If you know a little bit about trimming an oil lamps run for a very long time. And the wick doesn't have to be trimmed that often. In fact, you could burn a wick for, let's say, 6 hours a day and not have to change it for over 45 days. So how long were these virgins waiting? I don't know. It could have been night after night after night. If they were wise, they'd turn the lamp down during the day and then turn it on at night. They turn it on at night, but maybe they didn't use it all night long. Maybe they only used it when necessary, because maybe they had good night vision and they were able to be aware. Maybe they did take a nap. However, they kept the light on so that the bridegroom could find them. You see, maybe the wise virgins were more prudent with how they use their lamps, the oil and trimming of the wicks. They watched, they anticipated, they paced out the amount of oil and wick they had. They had a plan. They were vigilant with their lamp burning. Just as if you and I were stuck in the middle of a desert and we had one flashlight. We would use that light prudentially. Because we only have one flashlight. We don't know how long the batteries will last. We don't know how long the light bulb will last. So we're careful not to use the light all night when it is light out. Maybe we can watch throughout the night for a time and not have the light on. Maybe we can even share our lamps, have the foresight to make sure that our lamps last long enough. Where are you in the story? Would you have planned? Would you have had foresight? Would you have collaborated and worked with other people? Would you have made prudential decisions? Because it's one thing for you and I to have a goal in mind and say, that's my goal, this is where I'm going. However, it's another thing if we aren't able to make prudential decisions as the means of working toward our goal. St. Thomas Aquinas discusses how prudence belongs to reasonable consideration and actions, and how its end is in the practical sense of reason. And so St. Thomas Aquinas talks about how part of prudence is actually giving ourselves commands, orienting ourselves in a commanding way. Now let's look at this in the great context of virtue as a whole. Thomas Aquinas explains virtue as that which makes its possessor good and his work good likewise. So a virtue is something that means that we are good and the work we do is also good. It has to do with the material used, the means used, and within the proper context. Prudence addresses these specific things. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas talks about how prudence itself is within the origin of the doer. So prudence is within you and I. So prudence is actually contingent upon us and how we reason and orient and direct ourselves. Prudence is actually personal. It has to do with our interpersonal dynamic and relations with other people. It has to do with actions. So let's talk about this in a practical way, and I've been giving us kind of homework to work on throughout the week. I want to break down the three actions of prudence that St. Thomas Aquinas lays out in the Summa. He says that the three actions are, one, you take counsel, which we discussed yesterday on the show. Two, you judge what one has discovered in this counsel. And three, you take command. This consists in applying to action the things that you've received counsel on and that those things you've then judged. So let's break this down. Number one, you take counsel. It's an act of discovery and inquiry. Again, if you want to hear more about how important counsel is when it comes to the virtue of prudence, listen to yesterday's part of our series on prudence. We're in a week-long series. We have to discern if the counsel we receive is good or if it's bad. We have to deliberate, scrutinize, listen, discern. Aristotle, when talking about this, says one should be quick in carrying out the counsel taken, but slow in taking the counsel. So slow in taking the counsel, why? Because we have to listen, deliberate, scrutinize, discern, and then take quick action, as Aristotle says. St. Peter actually writes about essentially pondering, being prepared, being sober and watchful, just as we hear the wise virgins were. They planned. They probably received guidance on what to do to be ready to wait. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and chapter 5, St. Peter talks about being sane, sober, watchful, alert in prayer. One of my favorite passages from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober and alert. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. This passage is a reminder for us to be prudent, to be sober and alert. Know that the devil is here to get in the way of us orienting ourselves toward Christ. But remember, with Christ, all things are possible. So this counsel is a reminder for us in this first act, orienting us in the acts of prudence, that we need to listen. We need to prepare. We need to be watchful, sober, alert. But then the second act is to judge what one has discovered. As St. Thomas Aquinas has said, judge it. Make a decision. And number three, then command, which has to do with applying everything that you've taken into consideration. I think that St. Joseph is someone who provides us a great example of this. He shows us the great model of how to take counsel, judge it, and make an action with it, to command your will to actually do something. Today's theme, more practical, less of the theology, although I'll do a brief recap if you've not been with us, is how to be prudent in everyday life. Prudence is one of the four cardinal virtues, the preeminent of the four cardinal virtues upon which all the others flow from. Prudence, as St. Thomas Aquinas defines it, has to do with right reason applied to action. Has to do with not what our goals, what our ends are, but what means we use to get there. For example, my goal may be to drive to the grocery store, but I have to prudentially choose the means of how to get there. It would be unwise for me to walk to the grocery store because there's a sketchy neighborhood I'd have to walk through, and I don't think it's very safe for me. It would be imprudent for me, let's say, to drive a car that doesn't have current registration on it because I could get a ticket and I can't afford that. I could ride my bike that might take me a little quicker through a dangerous area, perhaps if I stay on a main road, or I could drive a car. There are all these situations, or maybe I need to be home before someone else arrives at my house to deliver a package. I have to potentially make all these decisions. So let's talk about prudential decisions in our everyday life. First, I want to encourage you in a beautiful prayer I was reading about prudence, praying for prudence. If you want to be more prudent, if you want to grow in any virtue, pray for it. So there is a prayer to Saint Dimphna. Now, Saint Dimphna has an incredible story. I'd love to unpack it today. But the long story short is she was very quick in responding and following the advice of her confessor and spiritual director. After her father, who was a king, decided he wanted to marry her because she looked just like her mother, whom he loved and who died. When she said no, she was encouraged to flee. There's much more to her story, which is quite incredible, but Saint Dimphna is an intercessor who can plead before the heavenly throne in heaven, helping us to grow in virtue. Pray with me. You were marked in life, Saint Dimphna, by a high degree of prudence. You sought and followed the advice of your confessor and spiritual guide. You fled from temptation, even when it meant exile and poverty. In your last extremity, you chose to die rather than offend God. Please help us now by your merits not only to know what is right, but to procure for us also the strength to do it. Amen. Saint Dimphna, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll review briefly the three acts of prudence that we walked through yesterday. Number one is in making a prudential decision, you'll take counsel. You receive good counsel through prayer, through spiritual reading, through catechetical reading, through the wisdom of those who have been through similar situations, of family and friends. And then number two in that act of prudence is you judge what you have discovered. Did someone give you poor advice, manipulative advice? Did you find good information? And then now you have to apply it to a particular situation because there are universal principles, but there are also situations that might determine whether or not that choice is the right choice to make. In fact, I give some great examples of this in our first day in our series on prudence. You can check that out at relevantradio.com/trending. Number three, I then have to take my counsel, take that counsel that I've now judged, and do something with it. Command. Take a command to the will, applying to action the things counseled and judged. So let's talk about this in relation to money, health, and our pocketbook, and our heart. Number one, the pocketbook. Here are four things to consider. Do I have a budget for my expenses? Number two, do I have a goal of what I'm working toward? Saving money? Starting to give charitably? Maybe living below my means rather than beyond my means, paying off debt? Number three, do I have accountability for this budget and goals? And four, do I regularly reevaluate my finances? A couple great tips. Could maybe enroll in the Dave Ramsey's program for financial planning and saving. In fact, this is actually something my husband and I recently picked up, the Dave Ramsey's program, to start working on it to work better at paying off our student loan debt. You could use the application, it's free, called Mint, where you can set your budgets and organize and have accountability there. And you can even sync it up with your spouse. Or maybe you like the old-fashioned paper and pen or a spreadsheet where you do it yourself. But again, how do you have regular accountability? Find your goals, set your budget. In work, I think as Christians to work on living below our means, not beyond our means, being honest and having integrity with our finances. Why would we talk about money when it comes to prudence? Because we're called to make prudential decisions with regard to our human concerns, human interactions, needs. If we're not deciding prudentially, if we're not having foresight, if we aren't taking counsel, judging, and then actually doing something about it, we're struggling with prudence. Maybe you're struggling with prudence when it comes to money. Let's talk about health. Here are questions to ask yourself. Four questions. Number one, what are my challenges when it comes to my health? Maybe I'm not getting enough movement in. Maybe I need additional agility and mobility because I want to keep up with my kids or be able to run or stay healthier. Maybe I have back pain, joint pain. Maybe I'm struggling with my weight. So what are my particular challenges? Then number two, how am I addressing them? Number three, what encouragement or resources do I need to address them? And number four, how am I measuring and reevaluating my challenges I have with my health? Maybe you're struggling with weight. Is weighing yourself every day helpful? Maybe once a week or once a month is better. Or maybe measuring is more helpful or basing it on how your clothes fit. Again, there can be any number of examples, but am I making prudential decisions with my health is the big question. And what steps am I taking? Number three, the heart. First, what is my state in life? Married, single, dating, celibate, priest, or religious? Given my state in life, number two, where do I hope to be with this? That is, how you handle your chastity, how your relationship's growing, how you're growing in charity toward others and generosity. So the question is, what is getting in the way of my achieving where I hope to be in my state in life? And finally, how can I grow in charity? How can I grow in charity and how am I doing with chastity? These are all important questions that help us to make prudential decisions day to day, given our state in life, given the call to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to remember that we too need to love ourselves and God. You're listening to Trending with Timory. This is day four of our series on prudence. We'll be back tomorrow. As we're wrapping up this series on prudence, one of the biggest questions I've received is how do we teach prudence to our children? This is a fantastic question. And so this last part of our series on prudence is prudence for dummies. And I'm not talking about kids. I'm talking about all of us because Jesus Christ reminds us to be like little children. Time and time again, he would remind his apostles by picking up a child, placing the child on his lap, to be like the little ones, not to scandalize them. So briefly in review, what is the virtue of prudence? It's one of the four cardinal virtues. St. Thomas Aquinas refers to it as right reason applied to action. And there are three acts of prudence that we're supposed to engage in. As he says, counsel, judgment, and command, commanding our actions. One way of putting it a little simpler, again, this is prudence for dummies during this last segment, is one to think about things with counsel, to decide based on what we've thought and received in counsel, and then to act upon it. Think, decide, act. Those are three simple things that can be taught to a child. What do we need to do and what do children need to learn when it comes to taking a course of action? First of all, to stop and think. To not just dive into things without pondering. Our Lady provided a model of pondering things in her heart. Second, after we've recognized that we have to stop and think, We need to make sure that feelings aren't the determining factor in our decisions. They can be a part of a deciding factor, but not the determining factor. A great example of this, I was actually thinking about it the other day. My baby girl bonked her head on the table the other day. And someone told her to whack the table. Just whack the table. That table hurt you. Hit the table. That bad table. Hit the table. And I went, oh, no, 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 no. That's not something I want to teach. Why? Well, because I don't want her to think that because I'm mad and angry and I hurt, that I can just have this visceral reaction that I'm going to hit what hurt me. Because someone could accidentally bump into her one day and she punches them in the face because she learned that it was okay to hurt and hit and kick and be mad at what hurt her, potentially accidentally. Now, if someone actually hurt her, and let's say harmed her in a way, she should be able to stop and think not just about whether or not to hit the person back, but where to hit them and where would be most effective. That would be prudence, because first she stopped and thought, and second, she had control over her feelings, not allowing them to be the deciding factor in her action. What else should we teach to ourselves and kids when it comes to prudence? Context. Know the difference between something that's permissible and appropriate in a proper context. Proportionate means to choosing our ends. As I discussed before, at the beginning of our series, we may know universally that a chair is meant to be sat on. But, let's say, we're in an environment where we need heat. We need to cook food. The only option to do that is over an open fire, and the only option we have is a wooden chair. It would be prudential to choose to chop the chair down and burn it, not to wait for someone to come around and sit on it. I gave other examples as well that we could work through, but again, it's knowing context, knowing the difference between what's permissible and appropriate. Third, teach our kids to consult God. That is first praying, but second, understanding the magisterium, which is upheld by sacred scripture, knowing our scripture, and the living tradition of the church, the example of the saints, how the sacred scriptures are interpreted. And finally, teaching our kids to learn from others by observation. This we too can work on. So what's our crash course and conclusion, simplifying the virtue of prudence? It's how to choose a course of action by thinking, deciding, and acting. To stop and think, don't let our feelings be the determining factor. Discover the context and what's appropriate, and learn from others by observation, and always make an informed decision in prayer.